We are back with another episode of Meet the CEO. We bring you the founders of Blue Chip Technologies Limited, Kazim Teobade and Olumide Soyombo. They talk about African-grown technologies giving back and making $60 million in 2023. From over 1,400 cities and 140 countries, we bring you the Good Morning Africa podcast. Good morning, Africa, and welcome aboard your pals on everything business in Africa. I am Ritha Dong. For more, follow us on Twitter at the K Financial News, and you can find me at Ritha Dong. Your main story is sponsored by BK Capital, a leading investment bank and fund manager in Rwanda. Our experienced advisors specialize in bonds and shares and can help you unlock the untapped potential of your franc investments. To learn more about the wealth of investment possibilities, visit our website at www.bkcapital.rw for an in-depth exploration.
Okay. My name is Olumide Soyombo. I'm co-founder of Blue Chip Technology.
I'm Kazim Teobade, co-founder of Blue Chip Technology.
Okay, talk to us about Blue Chip and when it was founded and why. The inspiration for founding Blue Chip.
So Blue Chip Technologies was founded in 2008 by Kazim and I. Initially as a data warehouse business intelligence consulting firm. To harness the data coming out from enterprises and large corporates. So traditionally, as those corporates had evolved over the years, they had built transactional systems. And in 2008, there was a lot of technology imperative for them to start making sense of their transactional data and having the 360-degree view of their business. And that's some of the key expertise that Kazim had developed over the years. And then I joined we co-founded Blue Chip Technologies to enable companies harness their data. And then from then on, we've then layered other services and other applications on top of that offering.
Okay. Kazim, if we could talk to you about the evolution of the business from its founding. During your presentation, you talked about, from starting from harnessing just data, and now you're doing training, you're doing lots of AI. The services have evolved. If you could maybe talk about the evolution of the services and what that means.
Okay, we started out as a data warehousing company, and soon afterwards, we started doing a lot of work around application services, where we build applications, custom applications for different organizations, desktop, web, as well as mobile applications. And afterwards, we started doing a lot of work around infrastructure, right? Setting up infrastructure bases for both applications that we're developing or the data and AI services we are deploying to different customers. We try to see ourselves as a service integrator. So at the core, our DNA actually is written with services around. So we're very, very creative, very innovative. So so that's how we evolved. And lately, we're seeing a lot of impact around training because the resources are quite scarce. And then a lot of people are also living for greener pastures outside of the continent. So we need to, train people, all right, to fill in the gaps. But not just to fill in the gaps, but also to become experts such that they can be to a level that they can also service clients that are outside of the continent.
Okay, you spoke about the first cohort that you trained. What informed that decision of training? And how excited are you about the results, or are the results what you were hoping for?
Yes, I think we even underestimated the outcome, right? The acceptance was very much. We had about 60 people across 7 African countries. The second cohort is happening right now. We moved to people from different languages. We had to modulate some of our materials to be able to handle some non-English, French people as well. So it's very exciting, and we're quite happy that it's helping people to go into, into data and AI, career.
Okay, Olumide, I'd like to ask, there's usually such a big gap between the government view of industrial revolutions and the private sector. Private sector usually leapfrogs and then kind of has to drag government along. So in the countries that you enter, how do you collaborate, or how do you handle the stakeholder management to ensure the governments that you're working with are coming along with you, and it doesn't feel like your services is far ahead and for some people perceived as a threat?
Spot on, a very interesting question. Our strategy for every market we've gone into, either in East Africa or West Africa, has always been local first. So we work with local partners in establishing. And every government across the continent is looking to get FDI into the country, is looking to spur innovation and investment within that country. And so it's sitting down to understand those key needs. The Africa Reward Index ranked Uganda actually as the most friendly to do business in the region, in EAC region. And that tells you a lot. During my presentation, I talked about how interesting and easy it was to register for NSSF, URA, NITA, and these things that would take weeks or months in several jurisdictions took a couple of days or 1 week in some instances here. That tells you that a government that's ready, right? So it's not just lip service by saying we are open to investors or we are open to people coming into the market. It's what are you doing about ease of doing business? And so that's where the collaborative part of our engagement comes in. You saw we had the Minister of ICT and National Guidance here today welcoming us and urging us to engage further to see how we can cross-pollinate ideas, how we can bring some lessons we've learned from across the region into Uganda, how we can learn from here also and export that and become and join that fourth revolution that Africa needs to jump on.
Okay, so I'm going to my final two questions.
Sure.
And to both of you, what are some of the changes you'd like to see in the IT sector across the continent? What's happening that's great, and what's happening that really, really, really needs to change?
Okay, if I start, I think the ICT sector within in Africa as a whole, what excites me is the availability of talent and young people. And that's a key telltale sign for future development. In 2050, Uganda will be 105 million people, with 50% of that population below 20. In 2050, Nigeria will be the third most populous country in the world, right? With part of the youngest workforce. So I mentioned Nigeria in West Africa, Uganda in East Africa. How do we become that hub for tech talent outsourcing to the world and be that workforce generation? That's what gets me very, very excited about building, Kazim mentioned our training program earlier on, about creating, training that talent. Many Africans, if you ask them, they don't want to migrate. They'd rather stay at home if the opportunities were here. So stay here, and build for the world. And that's the opportunity for the young African entrepreneur today, the young Africa tech talent today. And that's what gets me very excited.
Okay,
because
then what are the changes you'd like to see in the industry?
Okay, so on top of what Olumide just mentioned, okay, which is talent development, it's also important that the African continent starts to stimulate demand for this for these services. It's still a thing for many of us, right, in Africa, to still see that yes, I need to import, right, this software. I need to import this thing from, you know, from other parts of the world. And some of these things are not rocket science, with some, you know, commitment, some support. with some boldness from the government, right, this thing can actually be done, you know, by these people. I mean, by these people that we are trying to get them to be upskilled. So as we're trying to, you know, manage the supply side, let's also get the demand side. Let's be deliberate about the demand side. And the African continent should be able to work. The countries within the African continent should be able to work, you know, work well together, like what you see with EU.
Okay. So on the map that you've shown us, we see spots in East Africa, West Africa, Southern Africa as well, which goes to my next question. Is there an expansion plan, and what does that look like?
Our key expansion plan is to be a Pan-African systems integrator, started out by Africans and starting out from Nigeria. Now you've seen us expanding to several countries, Zambia, South Africa, Kenya, Ethiopia, DR Congo, and now Uganda. And our plan is to go further into the African continent. Like I said, to be a systems integrator started out by Africans in Africa. In 2027, we have a $250 million target by 2027, and that can only happen by us leveraging our presence across the continent. So that's our key expansion plan.
Okay, because if you could maybe expansion, if you could talk about the products that you have your mind on, or what you see yourself going into those other sectors, because I know you have a range of products, but the one thing you know about technology companies is they're always innovating new things.
Yeah, well, we have a range of services, which we've talked about, data and AI, infrastructure services, application services, digital business services around ERP implementations, you know, Oracle, SAP, Dynamics. And we also have what we call, you know, platform services. Here we're looking at cloud specifically, and see how we can, you know, offer a range of products that would, you know, enable the customers to optimally benefit from cloud adoption. Yes, there are other interesting things that are happening. You know, I'm sure you've seen a lot of things around GenAI, ChatGPT. So there will be a lot of things around prompt engineering, okay? How to get the large language models to be able to, you know, ask, you know, precisely what you need.
Yeah.
Because, you know, let's say, for example, you have ChatGPT, for example. You have to ask it something, right? So you have to find a way, you must find a good way to ask. All right. To ask the right question in the right way for ChatGPT to give you the results. So AI is going to be a big thing, especially Gen AI, and we are seeing that we're already, you know, realigning certain things so that we can be at the forefront of that as well.
Okay, just one more thing that I remembered. The Academy, the Prism...
Primo
Academy. If you could maybe talk about that as part of your... I know it's part of your CSR. I forgot to highlight that, and it's important for us to highlight in that. Either. I don't know who takes it.
Kazim can take Primo.
Okay, so... It's a CSR, right? We strongly believe that we've got a large youth population, and you know, data is, and AI, you know, the twin elements that are together, it creates a huge opportunity for people to learn, all right, and then not just learning, they're able to even leapfrog, all right, to becoming, to have a level of expertise, all right, because the demand is very huge out there, all right, both locally and even, you know, externally. So we have an ambition, right, to train about 500 people in Africa over the next 2 years, okay, And right now, I think there's some few Ugandans, even among the people they were training, right now. It's our second court. Supreme Academy is leading that. Before that, we used to have a program internally that we call Business Intelligence Training Program, BITP. That has metamorphosed into this Primo Academy, and the acceptance has been good. The stories that we are hearing, positive stories that we'll be hearing, how it's changing lives of people. It's actually a further push for us to do more. And that's why we are quite ambitious about saying that, yes, in the next 2 years, we need to train about 500 people.
And a quick look at the market. The market segment is powered by the Development Bank of Rwanda. We empower you. The Johannesburg Stock Exchange Share Index was little changed around 73,000 level on Thursday, holding close to recent one-month lows, with investors monitoring a mixed bag of quarterly company reports across the globe. Meanwhile, concerns persisted over Middle East tensions and higher for longer U.S. interest rates, especially after hawkish signals from the Federal Reserve this week. Among single stocks, Oceania was leading the gains up over 5% after saying it expects earnings to almost double after a strong first half performance. Other top performers include Kumba Iron Ore, Impala Platinum, PSG Financial Services, rising between 1.5% and 1.8%. On the flip side, AngloGold Ashanti, Montauk Renewables, Mortas and Sasol stood out as the top underperformers, each witnessing losses of around 2%. And a quick trip around Africa. The World Bank Group and the African Development Bank Group are partnering to provide at least 300 million people in Africa with electricity access by 2030. The World Bank Group will work to connect 250 million people to electricity through distributed renewable energy systems on the distribution grid, while the Africa Development Bank will support electricity connections for a further 50 million people. An estimated 600 million Africans lack access to electricity, creating significant barriers to healthcare, education, productivity, digital inclusivity, and ultimately job creation. The initiative is the most recent manifestation of the World Bank's commitment to become more impact-oriented and is a byproduct of a concerted work plan to build a better bank. It is aided by a constellation of regional energy programs that will now be aligned towards this common goal. For the World Bank Group to connect 250 million people, it says $30 billion US of public sector investment will be needed, of which the International Development Association, the World Bank's concessional arm for low-income countries, will be critical. Additionally, it posits that governments will need to put in place policies to attract private investment and reform their utilities so that they are financially sound and efficient, with tariff mechanisms that protect the poor. Thank you for always waking up with us. Good Morning Africa is a product of the K Financial. If you have suggestions or you just want to check out more stories, visit the website. That's thekfinancial.com. And don't forget to subscribe. You can also find us on all social media platforms at the K Financial. And you can find me at With The Dome.